Heyo, everybody. Thank you for joining us here once again. We Talk Comics. It is WTC. This show is called We Talk Comics Quest Probe. That's right. This show, we're bringing back the title of a obscure 1985 series of Marvel video games on the Commodore 64. And if you know about them, you're awesome. And if you don't, life's been good to you. Now, we're going to move on, though. I am your Crown Prince of Charisma, Mo. I'm joined once again by my friend since elementary school, a man who I take a bullet for, Brett. How are you doing?
Well, I haven't shot you yet, so you haven't needed to.
Yeah, you're most likely the person it's going to come from.
but otherwise, I'm all right.
Otherwise, Brett is okay. Also with us again, once again, is a man who probably has more, I think is cooler than anybody I've ever met, because he has more obscured knowledge of shit I wish I knew than anybody else ever. And that, of course, is Chris.
Hey, I'm here, and you're absolutely right. I know way too much about stuff that is not useful. If it's useful, go. I don't know it. If it's useless, I'm your guy.
You're the guy to go to, and that's what you serve your purpose.
Strangers who don't know me occasionally just ask me questions about Douglas Adams at random.
There you go.
I don't understand it. It's like people know. It's kind of scary.
They can tell when you're just walking down the street.
That's the guy to ask hitchhikers questions to.
It happens.
It's amazing.
Finally, lastly, a man whose opinion I respect so much, a man who actually somehow manages to equal the intelligence of the great long box graveyard Paul O'Connor or Joel Mulvey, and that's saying something, a man who is our very own investigative reporter, the one and only Cub Reporter K, Keith.
Well, that was very nice of you. I was expecting the backhanded compliment, and it was just front-handed compliment. So thank you.
I have, and this has been true at work, and I've mentioned this to Brett. I've turned over a new leaf starting today. I'm a kindler, gentler Mo. That would have been the backhanded compliment was YM yesterday, Mo. As of today, the TM, that's a good Mo for everyone. Maybe not as entertaining.
I think we'll do okay.
Before the stroke and after the stroke.
Blessed be, everyone.
Is this like
Serenity now.
Before Mo, after Mo kind of thing?
Before Mo, after Mo. Yes, well, no. But this show, we call it Quest Pro because what we got here is, if you guys are regular listeners, you'll know every now and then, I'll just open the show. I'll ask the guys a random question. They don't know it's coming, and they have to give a quick answer when they're introducing themselves. And we're going to do an entire show of that. Everybody's prepared 10 wacky questions to ask the other guys, and they're going to ask it, give us a quick answer for it, and move on. It should be a rapid-fire load of fun. But before we do that, I'm just wondering, Brett, have you ever been on the internet? And you're sitting there to yourself, and you think to yourself, damn, if there was only some place I could get all the top stories in comic books, you know, interviews, press releases, solicitations, all that kind of stuff. So it's just one place I could go to. You ever thought to yourself?
Yeah, and I keep thinking to myself, well, it's not my site, so where the hell would I go?
You know where you'd go? To Comicosity, our sponsor for the news. Those guys, as a matter of fact, hey, they have that. They do.
It saves us from putting it on our site.
Absolutely. Go there instead. They got a link right in our show. But you know what, Chris? I don't know if you've ever thought to yourself, damn it, I want to know how good this book is or isn't. Where can I find an excellent review? Have you ever thought to yourself that?
Yes, I have. But every time I get on the internet, I look at porn instead. So I've never found that site.
Well, if you should decide instead that you want to read about comic books and not go to hell, I suggest you go to Comicosity for their reviews. You know, it's just something to do. But they have more than that. Keith, I bet there's been times you've been like, I want to know what's coming out next. You ever thought that to yourself?
I always think that. I don't even care what's coming out now. I only want to know what's coming out next.
What's coming out next? And right there at the top of the Comicosity website, it says Marvel Comics, DC Comics, Image Comics, Dark Horse Comics. Pick it by publisher. Not only that, but they got Shop Talk with Alpha Comics telling you what's going on in the stores. 10 tweets Thursday. Read between the lines. Bunch of special features. Comic books best website. Comicosity. Don't be a geek. go to Comic Gossy, proudly be a comic book geek. I know myself, I'm there on average 3 to 4 times a day. And, of course, it is run by the two classiest men in comics, Matt Centauri Griffin. Did I get it right? Griffith? Griffith?
Griffith? No, but so close. Griffith.
Oh, I'll never get it right. Griffith? Matt Centauri Griffith?
Griffith.
And there the other, go. Of course, the owner and the founder, the always awesome Aaron Long. And that's Matt is, what, is he at PhotoCub on Twitter? Aaron is Juice005. So everybody go visit them. And now the news of Reporter K.
As I swallow my hot tamale candy that I'm using for energy for this tonight's episode. All right, well, news.
Professionals over here.
That's right.
Professionals.
That's right.
As you could tell by my talk-up of Comicosity.
That's how I get in the zone, is a big handful.
And Chris has thought about porn. Chris, are you, by the way, on the other windows, porn currently open?
Yes.
Does Comicosity have porn for you?
When is she, Cherry? When are they reviewing? She gave us a preview for the next issue of Cherry. Anyways, go ahead, Keith.
Well, now I don't even know where to start.
You never do.
What's the difference?
Yes, this is a radical change from other episodes.
Yeah, come on, Mo. You were not supposed to give that line. You were supposed to leave it to somebody else.
Yeah. I'm TM.
So,
blessed be.
Valiant has announced some artists coming up on Harbinger, an arc called Renegades. Matthew Clark, Clayton Henry, Lee Garbett, and most interestingly to me, Barry Kitson will be doing an issue. So interesting shaken up. Looks like one issue each for these creators.
Is it still published monthly?
Yes. So that's Harbinger 6 through 10.
Okay.
And, Barry Kitson will be doing part 2, which is the number 7 series. It'll be it's the December issue.
Okay, cool.
And
opening with the big news, are we?
Well, I like Barry Kitson. I haven't seen him in ages.
I'm a big fan of Barry Kitson. His work on JLA Year 1, written by Mark Waid and I think, what's his name, Brian Augustine? Is that the correct name? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was some of the greatest work I've ever seen in a series.
IDW has unveiled the Monocyte Deluxe Limited Edition hardcover, which is it's available in a red edition and an extremely limited black edition. Retail prices listed on Comicosity, which I don't know. I'm assuming this will be the American prices: $125 for red, $495 for black. A 224-page, 19x13 hardcover, available for pre-order right now.
All right. You know what? I'll let one of you order for me for Christmas.
These are extremely limited editions. They will contain all kinds of bells and whistles. They have original art with... by George Pratt, Bill Sienkiewicz, and Ben Templesmith, and that's the holiday gift right there.
Yeah. You know what? I don't even mind if you guys go splitsies instead of giving me individual gifts this year. If you do that, it's okay.
Well, I'll pitch in a dollar. Who's got another?
I got another dollar for you.
Fantastic.
Chris, you're making
Chris
up, the
make up the difference.
I'm going 50 cents.
All right. So we can get you one back issue of the original Monocyte.
That's a start.
Image Comics has gotten into the Marvel Now game. They teased a image in the style of the Marvel Now teasers. And it said also uncanny, and then announced a couple of days later that it will be the Uncanny Skull Kickers.
Yeah.
Will relaunch at number 1 in February.
Oh.
Well, you know what? That's local talent working on that, so that's I'm going to support it.
I actually like the concept. I mean, this Marvel Now has been a bad idea from the start. And although I initially really liked the teasers, they were getting long into it. It's about time somebody took advantage of Marvel's lack of future farsight.
You know what? It's the fact is, it's smart marketing. If it got them a little bit of attention, they otherwise wouldn't have got. Guess you have a few extra sales. Why the hell not?
I love that they're also doing a variant cover that will be numbered as issue 19.
Nice.
If they haven't restarted.
That's wonderful.
I'm clapping at that one, man. That's brilliant.
That's good stuff.
It's new, it's classic, it's a modern reinterpretation that gets back to the roots of these timeless characters. That's good
All
fun.
All 18 issues of them,
that
yes,
is,
right.
That is good fun right there. And a couple of related stories on one topic. The Age of Ultron finally has a date, and we'll see if this date actually happens. This has been referred to as Ultron War over the many, many years that this has gone along. There was a teaser image that showed up just a few days ago that was all written in binary. If you, like me, took 2 minutes to plug that binary into a Google search, it did spell Age of Ultron.
Oh, okay. Nice.
March 2013. And the first six issues of this are by Brian Hitch. He has done he did the art ages ago. We reported this in the news quite a while ago that he had said that he was finished of his work on the book. The part that not everyone's going to be thrilled by is this is a crossover event.
Wait a second. He wrote this book as a crossover event.
Hitch did the art. It was Brian Bendis wrote it.
Okay. All right. Oh, that's right. Of course he did. So Bendis wrote this months ago, and Marvel's gone through all these changes, and the characters have gone through all these changes. How is that going to work?
I assume it'll be up to Bendis to figure that out. He already designed half the new Marvel universe anyways, didn't he?
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm not terribly excited about this because the last time Bendis got a hold of Ultron, he had Ultron turn Tony Stark into a woman.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was the issue of
wow.
It was an issue of Mighty Avengers.
Are you sure that wasn't a what if?
No.
Sure you didn't dream that.
No, Tony Stark was a woman for an issue and a half.
Oh, and you weren't
well,
drunk.
That said, if Brian Hitch does it, it'll be in a cinematic style, beautiful art. And that'll be a woman that I want to get to know. She's an earner.
Yeah. Apparently, TM, also classy.
Yeah. Stay classy, Mo.
Stay classy. Something I didn't have anything negative to say about anybody. Well, I will later, but that's what we're doing, reviews.
Now,
it might have to come out just a little bit.
One of the teaser images that was put out for Age of Ultron was an unfinished page, undialogued, of a wall of a whole pile of superheroes that looks kind of like it's either a wall of missing in action heroes or just someone taking stock of their forces. One of the ones that Bleeding Cool called attention to, though, is that it's a website on the internet that they called attention.
Not as cool as Comicosity.
Well, no, and not as classy. They called attention to the fact that out of about 50 characters that appear on this wall, Rom appears on the wall.
What?
Rom?
That's impossible.
Rom Space Knight. Well, as it happened, just a couple of weeks ago, Hasbro got a license on ROM.
You mean I'll get ROM toys? I've always wanted ROM toys.
You and me both, buddy.
Because isn't there a ROM? I mean, there's a ROM Space Knight series that just wrapped up, or something like that—a miniseries, another one.
I don't believe so.
Oh, no,
I think so. Never. Something just wrapped up with the Space Knights. They're trying to keep the character, the concept around. The race are still out there.
Possibly the Space Knights. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because the deal was that it was only ROM that Marvel didn't have rights to. They've had the other characters appear.
But he's the one that everybody gave a damn about. Yeah, but didn't they get around it in one issue? I can't remember. It might even have been in the Incredible Hulk when Rick got married or something like that, that they had a guy who appeared to be ROM out of suit show up.
Yeah, something to that effect. Yeah, because
but they never used the name.
Yeah, the toy. It's really just the image and the name that they can't use because everything else was created for the comic.
Yeah.
So it's really just that image. I mean, there was no backstory or anything that was created with the toy.
Well, I would love it if they could get that going again.
Machine Man toys too.
Yeah, yeah. We could have Machine Man back on the show if you guys want.
I'm okay. It wouldn't be special if we did it twice.
That's true.
And Frankenstein Alive number 2 was finally released.
What?
I saw that.
In the same calendar year?
In the same calendar year. May for number 1 and November for number 2.
So, yeah, at that publishing schedule, they should finish, hopefully, before Bernie Wrightson dies.
Oh, it's true, but beautiful art, though.
I'm willing to wait for quality when it's that good of a book. I may get impatient, but I'm still spending my money. If it was if there was lesser talent involved, I'd drop the book, but I mean,
well,
I love that book so much.
I'm going to trade weight, so I'm just going to have it mailed directly to the rest home.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Well, no, the truth is that when it's a book that good, I'm glad when I hear it's out again. I'll be glad when I hear it's the trade paperback. But after a while, you just completely forget. It just goes off the radar.
Absolutely. It's like an image book at that point. When's Tribe number 3 come out? All right.
I'm still waiting for the Acclaim comics to finish their final crossover.
And that's the news.
All right. All right, well, it's the news, boys. Want to have some fun?
Yes.
All right, let's do a little, going do a little out quest on a probing.
Going out on a limb and saying yes.
They're going out on a limb and saying yes. Brett, why don't you open us up because you've been so damn quiet during the news.
All right. I'm going to pull out my question here.
All right. I'll you have 11 because Keith only has 9.
That's right. All right, so my first question is, what is the best animated property tie-in book, in your opinion? But this is excluding G.I. Joe and Transformers. Now, I'm going to give my answer first, and I'm going to say...
Well, we have to answer our own questions?
Well, I did.
Well, I didn't.
It's okay, it'll move along faster if you don't.
Go ahead, Brett.
All right, I'm going to give my answer, and it is The Visionaries. It was I loved the comic book, and I hated the animated series, but that doesn't matter, because I really like the comic book.
I've misunderstood the question.
Me too. What are we supposed to be doing here? It's a comic book that we like, even though the cartoon sucked?
No, what the best comic book from an animated television show, but it's not G.I. Joe and it's not Transformers.
All right, I got mine.
Well, those don't count anyway. They were comics before they were animated series.
Don't you see that look on Brett's face? Do that to him.
What the hell are you trying to do? This is just silly questions, okay? I'm not going for quality or anything.
His head almost exploded when you did that. I'm gonna say, you know what I loved? I don't care if it wasn't any good, and I know it wasn't, but it made me laugh every single month and I collected it. Beavis and Butthead from Marvel, based on the Beavis and Butthead. Never had a continuing writer or anything, artist. It's just a bunch of different. Actually, Rick Parker did all the art. Rick Parker did all the art, but different writers all the time. But I don't care. I love Beavis and Butthead, and I love that comic book. That's my pick.
I'm going to fuck things up, so Keith, why don't you go?
Chris just needs extra time.
Very gentlemanly of you to allow me to proceed there, Chris.
Well, I saw after I finished, both of you were really anxious to jump in.
Desperate to get my two cents in. Elf. I say Elf.
You like that comic?
You betcha.
It was a Star comic.
It was a Star comic.
So, I think it wasn't Visionaries, but...
Alrighty. Mine actually wasn't based off a cartoon show, but it is in the spirit that Brett is suggesting. I'm going with Star Years.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
It counts. it was based off a toy line.
All right. Good enough. We're moving on. Chris, do yours, because we haven't got forever.
All righty. Considering the last few weeks, we have read a couple series that could be considered babies, Little Batman, A-Babies versus X-Babies. What property would you guys most like to see converted over to babies?
I got mine. Spawn. I think that'd be freaking hilarious. Brett? Keith? Chris?
Transmetropolitan.
And what would they call it, Keith?
Transmetro.
Yeah.
Brett? Keith? Chris, have you got one for yourself?
I do. I have two for myself, actually. I would love
to
see...
You don't have to do one.
Yeah, right. I love to see G.I. Joe babies, and I think Marvel zombie babies would be absolutely adorable.
I would love to see something completely random. V for Vendetta babies.
Yeah, nice. I love it. Yes, I love it. All right, Keith, give us a question.
All right. What character most... needs their own musical.
What? Oh, there was the Spider-Man musical, which was a nightmare, and many years before that, the Captain America.
And Batman had one.
Batman
what
does that? Have one.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, that, I don't know if that counts. That was more of a traveling stage show, wasn't it?
Sure it was, but it was a musical.
Yeah, that's true. What comic book character needs his own musical? Oh, I got it. Dazzler.
Well, that's a very...
Yeah. I'd go see that. I'd go to New York to see that, man.
I know.
I love the Dazzler. That's genius.
All right. Apparently the right answer is Dazzler, Brett.
Everybody just say Dazzler. If you haven't gotten another good answer...
I wanted to say Hulk. I love like a Hulk smash song. But,
oh, that would be great. Now that's the right. That's the new right answer. Dazzler's too predictable. Okay, Hulk's the right answer. I do want a Hulk smash song now.
Oh, Brett, how about Kiss? Say Kiss.
I don't think so. No, I'm going to say with the cast of thousands, G.I. Joe.
There you go. And Keith, do you have one for yourself?
I was going to say Dazzler, actually.
All right, well, there you go. All right, we're moving on. All right, guys, I want to know. What captain in comic books? There's a lot of captains. You know, there's your Captain Marvel and your Captain Carrot and your Captain Canuck and whatever. So what character who's a captain will be better served as a lieutenant? Anybody.
See, you've taken away three of the most obvious captains right away.
Hey, you can still use them.
I got one. Captain Universe. A character that has never made sense.
There you go.
At all. Making him a lieutenant would actually just make them have to revamp the character, and maybe there'd be something usable there.
All right, nice. Anybody else got one there?
We'd have to make them Lieutenant Canuck.
Lieutenant Canuck, I like it.
I'm just going to say Captain America because he's never gotten a promotion.
Yeah, you know what? After all those years, you know what? I'm going to have to say Captain Autumn, though, because he kind of sucks. Sorry.
Especially Captain Autumn.
It's just his book. Yeah. All right.
Man, you and Captain Autumn. Are you ever going to get that right?
Captain Adam, Captain Autumn, Captain. You know what, Brett? We're renaming him officially. I'm sorry, getting a petition. Brett, do yours. I won't say anything negative though, because it's a new positive. I didn't say he sucked, did I? So that was not. That was yesterday, Mo. Brett.
All right. So truthfully, how many Who's Who and Handbook of the Marvel Universe did you actually buy when you were collecting? And the second part of that question is, did you try and get the first and final appearances of the various characters? And in my case, I collected both series religiously when they were first coming out, and I absolutely did try to get the first and final appearances.
Hmm. I can say I was more into Marvel. I remember missing one or two, just somehow missing the Marvel universe. The Who's Who, my friend Eugene was getting, so I didn't have to get them. I just stole his and read them.
I got every last one of the deluxe version of the Marvel Universe. Missed most of the Who's Who. Did not try to get the first and last appearances of any of the characters, and collected that same series once again, and to this day I still don't know why, when it was collected in trade.
Because you're crazy.
Nothing more topical than 20-year-old Marvel handbooks as far as things you need to have in trade. You can get them in Essential now. I really don't understand that. Now there's somewhere.
Yeah, that's really weird.
Black and white reprints.
I have two of them.
Black and white reprints of 25-year-old comic. That 25-year-old handbook.
Yeah, the information, the history of the character, it only gives you a third of their history now.
Now, if only they'd put the Marvel indexes into trade.
Oh.
If anyone remember those.
Yeah, Keith, what do you got there?
I also collected the deluxe edition Marvel handbooks. I had very few of the Who's Who's. I think I only had the updates for Who's Who, because I didn't really get into DC until the relaunch of Superman. So I think the Who's Who had already been out. I did, however, buy all of the copies of both loose leaf Marvel handbook in loose leaf format and the Who's Who in loose leaf format. And I alphabetized them and sorted them by team and rearranged them and slowly, ever so slowly, recycled every single page.
Because I think, didn't you keep a lot of them just for the artists who did the picture
while? I have literally one page left. And it is not Booster Gold. It is a Green Arrow that's now signed by Mike Grell. That is the only page I have left.
That's cool.
All right, threw out a piece of paper that had Booster Gold on it.
I know, it's shocking.
900 things. All right, guys. What villain would you like to see permanently become a hero? Brett? Chris?
Dr. Doom.
Dr. Doom.
I always thought his motivations were heroic. Given most stories involving Dr. Doom, I'm talking modern Dr. Doom, I'm kind of on Dr. Doom's side a lot of the time. I always understand where he's coming from, and I'd love to read a story that is told from his perspective. And he hasn't been truly evil for a really long time. So
there you go. Anybody else got one?
By that token, I would say Magneto. I think he's an excellent character that has his moments.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to take somebody else who's flip-flop myself, would be Deathstroke.
I thought of him too.
Yeah. Keith, you got one?
Cobra Commander.
Nice.
That works. That works. Brett, give us your next.
Oh, is it my turn already?
It is.
All right. Favorite character.
Keith, you did your turn, right?
I've had one turn so far. How many was I supposed to have?
Oh, yeah. Wait, Keith. Okay. No, you have your turn.
Yes, I thought so.
I've also only had one turn.
Man, really? You spent that long on Brett's?
It's just apparently.
All right, guys, we got to give quicker answers here.
All right.
Step it up.
Well, this should be an easy one then. What's the best ever story of Booster Gold?
The final issue.
When Blue Beetle died in his investigation of that.
I actually really liked the Justice League Unlimited cartoon episode where he is just on the peripheral of the action. Peripheral. You guys know what? The edge of the action. Yeah.
The edge of the action. That is the proper place for Booster Gold many times.
I like the one where he and Blue Beetle wind up on the island with the crazy Hawaiian shirts and stuff.
Cooey, cooey, cooey?
Yes, that's the one.
All right, Chris, give us yours.
Okay. Given that comic book characters are properties now, and they sometimes endorse products, what character would you guys like to see most endorse a particular product, and what would that product be?
Oh, Jesus. Oh, that's, you know, I would love to see, I'd love to see Wolverine endorse the Ginsu knives, personally. Brett?
Chris? I would love to see Swamp Thing endorse fertilizer.
There you go.
Cyclops 3D TVs.
There you go.
I just got that. Yeah, I went with Walking Dead and retirement homes.
There you go. All right, Brett, let's move on.
All right.
Step it up, step it up.
Oh, come on. Favorite character.
We hurry along. We're just going to have to review comics.
Favorite character with an afro. I am going to go with Misty Knight.
Luke Cage.
See, I think Luke Cage looks just as good without an afro.
You know what? Not Luke Cage. Power Man. There's a difference.
Fair enough.
What's his name? Rocket Racer?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 70s Spider-Man villain.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great. These you.
Yeah, Chris, I know. I'm going with Black Dynamite.
For this silly question. What's that?
I'm going with Black Dynamite just because I can't think of another character with an afro. And he's not even in comic books.
You mean Black Lightning?
No, Black Dynamite.
Oh, you mean the movie? The one with the guy who's in Spawn?
Yep.
All right,
and he has a cartoon show now, too, so it almost counts.
Almost counts. Good enough. Give us your next one, Chris.
Okay. As a kid, I always wanted underoos and never owned them. Did you any of you guys have underoos, and what character was on them?
I never had underoos.
Nope, no underoos here. I would have liked Spider-Man once, though.
I would have loved Batman once.
I just wanted them so bad, and my mom would never buy them for me.
Well, your mom probably did you a favor.
I think we now understand why we've all ended up on a podcast. We've never given underoos. If we had been given underoos, we would have grown out of this.
What would you have had? What would you have had, Keith?
I think Batman.
Batman.
Chris? Not Superman?
Hulk.
Not doesn't Superman matter. Chris, like, yeah, Hulk. There you go. Next question there, my friend Keith.
All right. Well, I don't think any of us are really giant fans of what's happening with Superman right now. What is the quintessential, most iconic era of Superman for you?
Ooh. Yeah, for me, it's right after the relaunch after Infinite Crisis, when it was Byrne and Ordway and Roger Stern and those guys writing it. For me, that's the best stuff.
It would be very tempting for me to say that, but I'm actually going to say the two issues that Alan Moore wrote, Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow.
The end of the
story. You know what?
The Bronze Age.
Yeah.
I was going to go that way, but I had a close tie, Man of Steel, the limited series that relaunched Superman into the DC universe.
I'm going to go a little later, Juergens and Ordway, and Roger Stern leading toward Death of Superman.
Yeah, kind of that's great stuff too. Panic in the Sky in that era, in that range, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great stuff too. That's great, great stuff. All right. Well, I'm going to go, and based on my last one where I asked what villain should become a hero permanently, what hero should permanently become a villain.
Is it too soon to say Cyclops?
No. I mean, if you think you should.
I think it should be permanent.
Yeah? Okay. I never really saw him as a villain still, but yeah.
Captain Atom.
You know what? Captain Atom might as well. Then at least he'd be a great foil for, like, Superman.
You got nothing else going on.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good one. I'm using that, too.
I'm going with OMAC because at least I get to see him occasionally.
Oh.
Captain Atom just never recovered after Armageddon 2001, did he?
Yeah.
Like, they just never knew. Like, they had that character ready to wrap up, and then they screwed it up, and it just never got okay again.
Never really got the momentum back.
Yeah.
All right, Brett, give us one.
All right. The character you most wish was being published today. And for me, I'm going to go with Wild Dog.
The character I most wish was being published for me would be Gru.
Hmm. Yeah.
Hmm.
Keith, Chris? Hmm?
Hmm. That's a tough one. In that I don't know an answer to it.
Is it Stephanie Brown? Is it Stephanie Brown? Oh, okay. I hope.
No, actually, I absolutely know the answer. Renee Montoya.
Oh, there you go.
And I'm going with Bat Mike.
Oh, my God. I'd rather see Captain Carrot and the Amazing Zoo Crew return.
Oh, but that's a good one, too.
Oh, that's a good one.
Chris, it's your turn, then.
Alrighty, I'm going to go with a quick one, and it's only for Brett. Brett, you've mentioned before on the podcast that your son loves Godzilla. What has he seen?
Actually, at this point, nothing. Godzilla got referenced in a Scaredy Squirrel book, and that engendered his love of the character.
Your son gets cooler by the day.
He lives in your dreams, Daddy.
Yes, he does. And I had to tell him that there's an evil one on the planet Jupiter.
Nice. Keith, what do you got?
All right, this is one inspired by Longbox Graveyard's latest podcast. If you have not heard it, go to our website, wetalkpodcast.com, and listen to it. It's a great episode. What comic do you own or have owned that would be worth the most money if it had been in mint condition?
What comic book do I have that would be worth the most money if it was in mint condition?
Well, for me, it'll be Giant Size X-Men number one. It's actually worth the most money of my collection anyways.
Whether it's in good condition or not.
Yeah, you know what? And I had at one point the Pacific Comics Gru number one, which was at one point worth a lot because of the first appearance of the character, but I'm not sure if it's still worth anything.
Doubtful.
And, yeah.
Once again, I'm modded the question for my own uses. I do have a mint condition Peter Parker Spectacular Spider-Man, and it would have been worth the most if I had sold it before the series was canceled.
Mm.
I could also give the answer of the final issue of G.I. Joe had I held on to that.
Had you held on to that?
Really?
Yeah, who knew that would be worth anything?
Is that actually...
It's worth very, very rare.
Yeah, really, the series was selling so little back then. Wow. The print runs so small.
Wow.
Let's see, what I got here? Oh, it is my turn, right? Yeah, it is my turn. All right, if you could have any two mentor sidekick characters switch positions, so one would have been better off being the mentor and the other would have been better off as the sidekick, who would that have been? Who would have been better off switching positions?
Stars and Stripes.
Hmm.
Star-Spangled Kid, I always thought was very strange to have him as the main hero and Stripesy as the sidekick character.
All right.
Booster Gold and Skeets.
You think Booster would be better in charge? Falcon and Captain America.
Oh, interesting. Nice. All right. Moving on, Brett. Moving on.
All right. Did you answer your question, Mo?
Nope. I told you I didn't have answers for my questions, and we're moving on.
All right, fine. So, would you cosplay, and as who?
Hell no.
Hell no, Mo won't go.
Guys, I don't even wear shirts with logos on them. Come on.
All right, Keith, Chris, come on.
You know what? I've said this character a bunch of times this podcast, but still, he's one of my favorites, the Hulk. I love the cosplay as the Hulk.
How about if you cosplayed as the guy who created Minecraft? I think that would be... as he gives me the finger, because he looks just like him. I don't remember the dude's name, but he looks just like him.
Well, Chris, you were actually asked if you were cosplaying at the last show, weren't you? And you were just wandering
around.
Yeah,
at the Calgary Comic Con, he was actually asked if he was cosplaying as that guy.
Yeah, so some guy came up to me and said, "Are you the Naz?" And actually, he wasn't talking about cosplay. He actually thought I was the guy, I think.
That's even. But you had a bunch of people ask you if you were dressed as him that day. That's great.
It was in close proximity. I think the people who asked me were talking before and after I thought, I think it was the same group. They talked about this guy and then I walked by them in two different positions in the same hallway.
Nice.
But I was asked twice. Yes.
So Brett, would you? Keith, would you?
I would for sure. I would go as the Golden Age Sandman.
I could borrow part of your costume because I'd like to go as Yorick, the Last Man. So I need a gas mask and a monkey.
There you go. Well, then I could cosplay as the monkey. Wouldn't even have to dress up.
And I'd love to see Keith carry you on his shoulders.
Chris, what do you got?
Question was, oh. Considering the state of the Batman movie right now with Christopher Nolan, which is a movie series I love, taking that into account, is it possible to insert that Batman into a JLA movie successfully? Could this movie project be good? Yes or no?
No.
No.
Yes.
No.
All right, Mo, you lose.
I lose, but that's okay.
Did you see the Batman movies, Mo?
Yeah, I saw the first two.
Okay.
I didn't see the last one. Yeah,
so that's why you gave the wrong answer. Okay.
All right, yeah, that would probably do it. All right, Keith, what do you got?
All right, so Metal Men. If you were Dr. Magnus, creator of the Metal Men, would you have sex with Platinum, who's constantly hitting on you?
Hell yeah.
I always thought that was part of the comic books.
You thought that was subtext to start with?
I really thought it happened, man. No subtext, man. I can see the panels in my head right now. And it's vaguely disturbing that I'm just now realizing that I made those up.
Chris, you might have been confusing it with an issue of Heavy Metal.
Breadificus?
Well, Chris obviously has the weirdest porn on his computer, first off.
Yeah, exactly.
But I would say,
feel free to close that window with the porn right now. Or all those windows with the porn right now, I should say.
His computer's going to shut down.
I like how Brett somehow managed to skirt out of answering the question.
Nope. I said yes.
Correct answer was yes.
The correct answer was yes. Absolutely. It's the wackiest damn question. What character would be better served that's outside of the DC Universe as a member of the DC Universe?
Oh. Brett's going to edit out all these times when we stop talking to think, right? We're just straight to a halt as the great questions make us all scratch our heads and look up to the skies and look at our comic shelves for
both. Gru. I'm going to say Gru.
Yeah, Gru's a pretty shitty answer. I would actually say the Ghostbusters.
The Ghostbusters?
Yeah. Could just reinvent the challenges of the unknown as the Ghostbusters.
John Constantine, there's a new game in town. The Ghostbusters are in the DC Universe.
Yeah.
Bad news for the Phantom Stranger.
Yeah. The Spectre, he's going down.
Oh, that would be awesome. Spectre versus the Ghostbusters? Book it.
How about Master of Kung Fu, Cheng Chai, I believe his name?
Yeah, yeah.
Moving over from Marvel?
You're right. Move from Marvel over to... He would really fit in there.
Because Marvel's never known what to do with him, and they can't even reprint a lot of those issues because of property rights with Shang-Chi's father, Fu Manchu.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. A lot of his... the thing about... I don't think Marvel is as good at integrating a character without powers into their superpowered universe. So without giving him some sort of wacky weapons and such. So yeah, I think that's a great choice. Nice.
Same reason as Nick Fury.
You know what? Nick Fury, yeah.
Hey, Marvel's almost done with him, right?
That's right. They're ready for tradesies.
There you go. There you go.
Instead of crossover, a trade event would be awesome. Have Marvel and DC make a trade for a year. That would be great.
That actually would be incredible if they could trade, say, three properties, mm-hmm. you know, for a year. That would be incredible.
That would be fun. And
it would give purpose to a crossover.
Absolutely. They could do some really great shit. Yeah. All right, Brett, your turn.
All right. The number one character in your mind that you just don't get why they exist. For me, it's probably the Demon, but I could also go with Hawk and Dove.
I like Hawk and Dove. Why do I don't? There's characters who just, I don't get why they're
Red
even.
Hulk.
Oh, Red Hulk's Red, a freaking Red Hulk, good one.
Red Hulk is like, it's like, anytime I open any comic that has the Red Hulk in it, my brain just like makes me stop and go, hey, remember how the Red Hulk is incredibly stupid? And the whole concept makes you mad? Yeah, you're reading that, or you're reading that right now. You're soaking in it.
Yeah, you know what? For me, and he's a classic character. He's had a lot of great storylines and great moments, but I just can't get over how dumb his original outfit was. Baron Zemo.
I love his costume, man. Purple with fur? Man, you got me mad. I wear it out on a regular day.
I remember seeing that in the Marvel Handbook and going, what is like the fur? The fur's a bit much.
The fur is a bit
much.
The
mask with the weird stripes, that's okay, but the fur?
I'm going with the Huntress. She's always been a poor man's Catwoman.
Controversial.
Well, I have to think. Think of her origin in Earth 2, and it makes sense, though.
Hater.
Well put. Well put. Whose question was that? That was Brett's?
Yep.
Did you have an answer, Brett?
I did. I said the Demon or Hawk and Dove.
Oh. Wow. Okay. Thanks. Chris, your turn.
All right. This one, last one was for Brett. This one is for Keith only. On one of Keith's recent tweets, he mentioned the Invisibles, which prompted me to start rereading The Invisibles. Keith, explain any element of plot in the book.
We don't have that long for this podcast.
That's a whole other podcast.
That is a bold, bold question. the apocalypse based more on Time Wave Zero than on the Mayan calendar, is to happen on December 21st, 2012.
And, next question.
Your turn, Keith.
My turn. That's hardly fair. All right, casting call. Who should be the voice of Rocket Raccoon?
Who should be the voice of Rocket Raccoon?
I'm going with Edward Burns, because I love Edward Burns.
Oh, I'm going with me. Which actually is...
A New Yorker accent, that's what I was
saying. I'm going with me. Now, the thing I'm going to say, but But I do want to say this, while I'm thinking of this, I should let all of you guys know that I'd like to take myself also out of the running right now to be the director of the next Star Wars movie, publicly.
Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
You're not going to make us all have to declare that now, are you?
You probably should. Everybody else is.
No, I'm putting myself in the race.
What? You sneaky bastard.
I'm going to say the guy who voices SpongeBob.
I'm going to say the guy that voices Elmo. He's owed one.
Yeah, he could use a good day.
Christina Ricci.
Awesome.
Well, there goes my next question.
All right, guys. What character that exists outside of the Marvel universe would be a better fit in there?
Exo Man of War.
Oh, he would. That's a good one. That's a good one. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Aha, now I don't look so stupid. All the other guys are trying to think.
Look at there.
If only we were...
I've never seen Chris sweat so much during a podcast with this guy. Guys, there's a faucet over there. The pressure is being on.
Damn it, I hate having to give these answers. I'm going to actually say, I'm going to go with the Blackhawks.
Oh, yeah. I could see that.
I'm going with Sludge. They actually own the property, and I think he would be a good fit within the Marvel Universe.
Ah, nice. I like that. Those are all good. All right. I'm going to go with Captain Marvel. Shazam, Captain Marvel. Even though I normally aren't going with them. Brett, your turn.
All right. Worst comic book movie. I'm going to go with Fantastic Four, and I don't mean the Roger Corman one, but Ghost Rider is a close second.
Oh, my God. There is so many. Brett, you don't mean the Rise of the Silver Surfer, do you?
The reason that I'm not going with Rise of the Silver Surfer, because I thought the Silver Surfer looked pretty good.
Yeah, he looked cool. There is so many to choose from here.
I'm going with one so bad, actually, that it wrecked the property. It doesn't even exist as a comic book right now. And that would be the Gen X television movie.
Yeah, there's that. I'm going to go with the one, though, that people, because my expectations are so high, because I love the first one, and because the reviews and everybody was raving about this movie, and then when I saw it, I was never being as disappointed. And that was Spider-Man 2.
Another bold, controversial choice. But we know
Heath, just pick X-Men 3 just so it's mentioned.
I'm going to say Wolverine.
Ooh.
I'm surprised nobody chose Catwoman.
Yeah, I think we all avoided it.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
It did give popular culture and cosplaying the Catwoman costume that Halle Berry wore.
That seems fair.
A contribution to pervs at comic shows ever since.
Yeah. Blade 2 deserves some call.
Blade 2 wasn't that bad.
Yes, it was. It was awful. The first Hulk deserves
first
a call.
That definitely.
Oh, was. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you're just naming good movies to piss me off.
Whose turn is it anyways? Yours? Your turn, Chris?
Yeah, okay. What is the filthiest comic book you ever enjoyed?
Filthiest comic book I ever enjoyed? Probably Strange Kiss. Not Black Kiss. Strange Kiss.
Cherry Pop-Tart.
Hmm.
I'm going to go with Icon Devil. It had some crazy stuff in it for those two issues.
Both issues were just out of hand.
Yes. Perhaps that's why they never reached 3 either time they tried.
And Chris, I need your answer on that one.
Yeah, no, I'm taking the asker's route out and not answering the question on grounds it may prove detrimentally to me legally at a later date.
Really? Like the metal men wouldn't do that for you.
Yeah, I was about to say, just say metal men, just say platinum screwing Dr. Magnus and move on. Or Magus or whatever that
was. Well, I got a special edition of Racket Raccoon that you would not believe.
Keith, your turn to ask a question.
Oh, God, does it have to be? Okay.
I can give you another one.
No, I'm good. I'm good. Okay. Well, in keeping with the comic book film film theme, out of all of these, we know which ones are the bad comic book movies. Which is the guilty pleasure one you like anyway, damn it?
Explain that. Say that again.
Which bad comic book film you like even though it's a bad comic book film? And I'll go out with Dolph Lundgren and Punisher.
I'm going with the Punisher as well, but I'm going with the Thomas Jane Punisher.
I think you could actually use all three Punisher movies.
I'm going with the last Punisher because I like that one. I like the last Punisher.
See, I can't because I hated Warzone. But I am actually going with all of the Captain America TV movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Doesn't matter which one it is. They're all bad, but they're all funny.
I just like saying Red Brown, actually.
Red Brown, baby.
It makes me smile.
Is it my turn?
Sure.
Was that you, Keith?
That was me.
I'm losing it here. Okay, well, Thor is, of course, a fictional character from history who became a star in comic books. So what other character that's historically a fictional character you thought should have been a star in comic books?
El Cid.
Keith and Brett is completely.
Well, I don't know. I've got her one. Jesus.
That is the funniest thing anybody has said in 2012. In fact, I'm just going to let Brett. Just leave it go.
Can't top it. Yeah.
All right, Brett, your question.
All right. Which current comic would you most like to write? And the reason I say current comic is so Keith can't answer Booster Gold.
Hey-o.
And for me, I'm going to say Blue Beetle so that I can kill off Jaime Reyes.
Does Punisher still have a series going?
He does.
All right, Punisher.
Thunderbolts.
Venom. Because that book just went completely freaking sideways when the new writer took over.
There you go.
Chris, who is the new writer?
Colin Bunn.
Chris, your turn.
All righty. What 80s cartoon property that is now defunct would you most like to see revived?
Mask.
Oh, that's tough because
that's rocks.
No. So many of these, Scott Kowalczyk, I'm sorry, but no. So many of these, the problem is they do get revived. Captain Caveman for me.
Ooh, nice.
Oh, yeah, I changed my answer. I love Captain Caveman. I was going to go with the Mogwais.
Oh, yeah, that's good too.
I'm going to go with the Godzilla animated show.
I wasn't fooling. Mask was my answer.
There you go.
I know. I think it was a great answer. Actually, no, Visionaries. Visionaries. That's the one.
There you go.
Nice.
Make it good.
Hey, man. Keith. 3D would be awesome.
All right. In the tradition of Jericho season 3, Buffy season 8 and 9, what TV series should get a season whatever comic book?
Crusade.
Ooh. Good answer. Very good answer. Actually, there should be no other answer.
Yeah.
Since I don't have one, you just saved me.
What, WKRP season 4? You're not going to...
Instead of an answer, can I give a follow-up question? Why Crusade and not Babylon 5?
Babylon 5's story had finished. Crusade did not.
Because it was either Crusade or Aftermath.
We could call it, I want a prequel. I want a prequel called Before After MASH.
Yes.
That takes place just on the trip home.
Yes.
Takes place between Farewell Amen and After MASH. Just on the plane.
The thing is, you gotta see the look on Chris's face. You guys are kidding around. He's trying to take this serious as hell. This is the most serious thing he's done all year.
No, we could have them, their plane crash on a deserted island and have them cross over with a new Gilligan's Island.
And Lost.
I wanted and to Fantasy be Gilligan. Island.
Yes.
Gilligan's MASH.
Big smiles, everyone. Big smiles. It's the smoke monster.
I remember that Gilligan's Island when it came back in the 90s and it was awesome, but nobody watched.
Remember Fantasy Island when it came back in the...
Oh, that's what I meant. Did I say Gilligan's? That's Chris's fault.
Fantasy Island was awesome with Malcolm McDowell. And
totally.
Oh, it was great. And
I never saw an episode.
That's never
on. Oh, it's tremendous. It was so dark.
Let's start a write-in campaign.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was very, very dark. It wasn't like the other one. Yeah,
someone started an online petition. Those always work.
Yeah, especially after this many
years. We can send waffles.
That's right. We'll send
whose turn is
we'll
it?
We'll send them islands.
I'm losing track here. Whose turn?
I don't know. I just went.
All right. That makes it my turn. All right. What's the team up you're never going to see but you most want to?
Why won't I see it? If anything, Marvel now has taught me that there is no stupid combination of characters that cannot be put into a monthly book.
I'm going to go with the Return of the Blue and Gold.
But we're going to see that any day now.
Well, I got
any day now.
I got Conan the Barbarian and Gru the Wanderer, but
I'm just going to go Blue Falcon and anybody.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and the Adolescent Radioactive Black Belt Hamsters.
There you go. That's a good one.
Did that ever happen? That never happened. Did it happen?
Never, and no. It never will. That's no. A good one. I like that. Right.
Two classic time-traveling characters, Booster Gold and Cable.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That'd be awesome. I'd love that. Even I would want that.
That would suck, actually.
All right, why don't we do one more round of questions and then stop the bleeding?
Well, I only have two more. Oh,
it's okay. God. You can have mine. I don't like my last question.
Okay, good. Then I got – okay, Brett, you got one?
All right. I am going to ask you, what series would you never go digital on?
What series would you never go digital on?
For me, I will only own physical copies of Sandman and Fables.
I've just made this choice recently, Batwoman. As long as it's drawn by Williams. Because I don't like a book that's almost entirely two-page spreads in digital.
Well, do you mean, Brett, what do I have currently in my collection that I would never give in? Or do you mean what do I currently am currently getting?
No, what do you have in your collection?
Age of Bronze. I prefer that. I think that's in the perfect.
And I'm going to go with Transmetro, and The Watchmen, of course. I will always have physical copies of those books.
Yeah.
If I'm going classic, it has to be Sandman. I think I've bought these 4 or 5 times now. And I now have the Absolute Editions, which are incredibly beautiful and ridiculously annoying for trying to read the books.
Yeah, oh yeah, because they're too heavy.
They are. You have to, all right, like, then. You need a reading table for them.
I'm sorry. This last one just made a question pop in my head, and I need to know from you guys. Has anyone else worn out multiple copies of The Watchmen? I am now on my 7th. I've picked up my 7th copy of The Watchmen trade paperback.
I keep losing my copy of Watchmen.
No, I am of the nature, and I like this for movies or books or whatever. I must wait so many years between seeing or reading it again that it comes completely fresh to me every time. So I don't go back and read something if I really have any memory of any spoilers. I really need it very, very fresh.
I don't know if I've ever worn out a book.
How about you, Brett?
Have I ever worn out a book or?
Well, Watchmen.
I mean, I lose copies or I loan them and they don't come back or I move.
I have given a couple away once they're a little bit tattered.
Because I think Watchmen I've probably bought four times, but it's because I keep losing them or leaving them with an ex-girlfriend or something like that.
Okay, so Brett's not answering.
Sandman.
There you go. He's worn
well,
out.
No, I mean, I already said, like, I already gave my answer to the question.
Okay.
But which book have I had to replace? Sandman.
All right, Chris, since I'm taking yours, it's going to be what major comic book character who has superpowers do you consider to actually, in truth, be the biggest wimp?
Well, you know what? You're expecting me to say Superman, but I'm going to say Captain Marvel, another one of your favorites.
He's not a wimp. Neither one of those guys are wimps.
He whines a lot, man. And that's only because Captain Marvel is written poorly so much of the time that they translate kid into wimp.
Yeah. What about you guys?
Booster Gold.
Just say Golden Age Sandman and be done with it.
He doesn't have powers.
True.
And he's awesome.
I'd have said Blue Beetle if he had powers. Oh, all right then. In that case, I'm going to go with Captain Atom.
Yeah, he's a bit of a whiner, isn't he?
He really is.
All right, Keith, give us one.
A question or an answer to that question?
No, well, either or.
All right, well, let's... Since we just mentioned non-powered characters, if you could be any non-powered comic character, who would you be? And why?
Golden Age Sandman. Because he's cool, and because he's got the sleep gas gun. And really, I can think of 100 uses for that thing.
Non-superpowered character.
Non-powered, yeah.
Dr. Doom counts, right?
Dr. Doom would count.
All right, they'd be my guy.
I don't know what you guys are taking. The answer is Batman.
Well, you know what?
You guys are wrong. The answer is Batman.
Well, wait. Now, you could be him. Now, I'm going to ask you guys, because this is mine. This coincidentally serves very nicely into it. And that's what major, or if you had to live a day, one day in the life of any one character, who would that be and why?
Chris's answer is Dr. Magnus so that he can have a shot at platinum.
No. The correct answer is Bruce Wayne.
Why?
Millionaire playboy who fights crime at night in a cool ass car.
Yeah, but he's all tortured and stuff.
Yeah, I'm thinking I could let go. I could get over those emotional issues fairly easily.
What about you guys?
Hal Jordan, he's got a super cool power ring.
Hal Jordan is a great answer. Hot babe, he's out in space, he's cool, he's good looking, he's got it all.
Yeah, but, I mean, the man's tortured, man. He has shit popping up. Batman can ignore villains.
Please.
People are always attacking Green Lantern. Bruce Wayne, you can just, I don't feel like it tonight, man.
The correct answer, Dr. Manhattan, because you have the powers of God and you don't have to wear pants.
For me, the correct answer, go back to this correct answer. For me, it's Gru, because I love cheese dip.
Mendicant.
All right. Anyways, truthfully, Tony Stark is a pretty great answer for somebody to live the life just one day of. Tony Stark would be pretty damn awesome. Now, let's move on to our next little bit. Brett, why don't you explain this to the guys because they don't even know what it is yet.
All right. So I had this thought when we were talking with Photo Cub the last week there where I thought that wouldn't it be great if we could hand somebody a story arc, a trade paperback, whatever, of a series that they have almost probably never read much of, maybe never read at all, that we just love. And then it would almost be like a Christmas kind of thing that, you know, I'm going to choose a name, you're going to choose a name, and we're going to read a series that somebody else in the group loves so very much. And then we're going to come on and talk about it. Because that seems to be what we do a lot of, is talk.
Oh, especially if it's a comic.
That's right.
And that make sense to you guys?
Mm-hmm.
And so I am going to call this segment The Gift That Keeps On Giving. Because really, you know, the only thing that I can see more so as a gift that keeps on giving is a lifetime subscription to a whorehouse. But really, this is a comic book, and so we love them just as much.
And you know what, Brett? If you're with the wrong whore just one time, you'll get a different gift that keeps on giving. But anyway,
see, it just works on so many levels.
All right, Brett, go through then. How are we doing the draw for the names? And we should mention it's us four plus our buddy Photo Cub, Matt, Santori, Griff. Somebody help me out here.
Griffith.
Thank Griffith. Like I said, I always knew that. And Comic Canuck.
Yes.
Our good buddy Comic Canuck.
Our other Chris friend will be, and they'll be joining us in the Christmas episode where we talk about it, and then they'll probably be joining us when we do the first part as well.
Yeah, exactly. So
okay, let's go. I have six cards numbered on both sides. Somebody is going to go through and pick the first side number for the person that they will be giving a comic book to.
Sounds good.
Then somebody will choose the other side number for the person that it'll probably all work anyways.
that's
I what we guarantee want there's no way that this will work out.
Absolutely not.
It's not guaranteed. It's
right away.
It probably will not work. The hell.
No,
it's this only will, live this on the all air.
All right, so we have numbers from 1 through 6. Obviously, Comic Canuck and Photo Cub are not here, so we have randomly chosen Chris to make the draw for them. So who shall we have go first?
Why don't I go first?
All right, Mo. 1 through 6.
5.
Number 5. And that is Matt. That I didn't actually even plan that. But
excellent. Okay, Matt. So that's Photo Cub. I got Photo Cub.
I will write that down.
Nice.
Who is going to go next?
Keith.
5.
Keith. If you're not going to be serious, then you're not going to be invited to play.
Go with 5.1, man. 5.1, it hasn't been taken.
I take it that Mo also said 5 and I wasn't paying attention.
You mean you didn't do that as a joke, you moron?
Welcome to We Talk Comics.
Why don't you choose 5? I'll choose again.
How about 3?
3. All right. Keith has chosen Comic Canuck.
Interesting. All right, Chris is going to choose for Comic Canuck.
I'm choosing for Comic Canuck, in which case I will go with 6.
Number 6. So, Comic Canuck gets you.
Okay. And now you choose for Matt.
For Matt, I'm picking 4.
Number 4? Well, Matt gets Mo.
Oh, interesting. All right, then, Brett, you
and
choose.
And honestly, this is just not even something that we ever planned.
This is perfect. So then I guess Brett, you have Chris, and Chris has Brett.
No, Keith.
Oh.
I have to choose Keith or myself. So
choose Keith, why not?
Yes.
Which leaves Chris with who? With you?
Chris has Brett, yes.
Yes.
Chris has Brett. Okay, I got Matt. Matt's got me. Interesting. Interesting. All right. Now that we've done that, and we will be in discussion with the person that we're doing this with, we'll come on, announce what book we're giving them, and then the review will be down the road from that, after everybody's had adequate time to read the story arc or trade paperback or whatever it is that they've been assigned. So we'll make sure that they got something that we love that they've never read before. And like I said, then we'll announce it, then we'll down the road read it or talk about it. So, all right, guys, let's move on to the We Views, because, Keith, we are...
Here I come to save the day.
Saving you from bad comics.
This week, maybe we are.
I wish to God someone saved me from this whole week.
Wow. Well, Keith... Right.
Okay, how fast can we get through these reviews? All right.
Pretty quick, I hope. Here we go, Brett. We're going to open up. Keith is going to talk about Captain America number 1 from Marvel, part of the new Marvel Now, written by Rick Remender, drawn by John Romita, Klaus Janson, and Dean White also have their names on this book. Keith, open up talking about that.
I actually kind of like this book.
Good Lord, Keith. You're fired.
I know I'm one of the only ones that actually still likes Romita Jr.'s work. I am a big fan of Rick Remender. Very disappointed that when he left Venom, so and not thrilled with the other stuff he's been writing of late. But I was interested in getting back to a bit of getting back to the old days of Cap, intrigued by some of the developments in this issue. I could have used a bit more status quo establishing. There's kind of there's a couple of bits of his relationship with Sharon Carter that it tells me where they're at, but it doesn't really tell me how they got to where they're at, which, I mean, in the case of their relationship, I could have definitely used a bit more footing. I didn't read the Brubaker stuff, so I'm really out of touch with where this character has been. And, the reveal of one of the goofiest villains in Cap's history, and then a finale that made me think of one of my all-time favorite runs, Nomad. So I think I'm intrigued to try another issue of this.
All right. Chris, what do you think of it?
I really didn't enjoy this book. As the Brubaker run, I thought, made Captain America a relevant character. It was definitely rooted in more of less of a comic book place. He was more spy-ish. Anything can happen. This is a return to true comic book form. And to me, it felt jarring to go from a real world into a cartoon world. I didn't enjoy this one at all.
This book to me was very, very inconsistent, because I hate the opening scene, and then I found some dialogue that I thought was really good. I thought, the pacing was good. The characterizations smooth and strong. And then again, a villain that, you can try all you want to make cool or dangerous, and he's just going to be silly and stupid. He can't not be. And art that is really, he's hit or miss for me, Romita Jr., and this is a miss, this particular one. I kind of liked it towards the end as well. The last few pages and the concept of where it's going, there was a twist that I didn't see coming, so I think that's interesting. I wouldn't call this a base hit. I wouldn't call it a ground out to first. It's kind of a walk. I may be back for the next issue. Brett?
Well, I actually agree with Mo, with almost all of your review. It's really up and down for me. There's a lot of hit and miss going on there. I will totally say that the art, and I think it's so weird because, Romita and Klaus Janson, the art should not be this bad. In my opinion, the art is just flat out lazy. It looks like some of these panels were done in about 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And that to me, the art was just no good. But
the faces are all messed up.
Yeah, yeah. There was so much that really annoyed me about the art. But I will say that as far as the end of the book goes, I really liked the potential for it. So I will definitely be back, even though it wasn't my favorite book of the week.
Did anyone else find, especially Sharon Carter's face was screwed up in almost every panel? I found her.
I thought
her in particular was really terrible.
Yeah, and you know what? I got to say though, if you are a fan of Captain America and you haven't been reading it for a while, but you're looking for a chance to go back as a jump on point, I think it's a good job. I think that maybe he should give it a shot. For me, yeah. Let's move on, Brett. Let's talk about a new book from Image by David Schlunder, and I hope I'm pronouncing it correct, and Juan Jose Reap, and Felix Serrano. That's Clone Number One, and I'm sorry if I butchered these gentlemen's names. Brett, why don't you talk about Clone?
I'm sure you did butcher their names. You know, I actually, after I got through the art for a couple of pages, because I found the art almost hyper-detailed in certain cases and not necessarily in a good way, but once I got past that point, then I found the story really interesting. I like the concept that, you know, the clone concept in this case, and I hope it's not going to be the clone saga, the Spider-Man kind of thing, but for me, this was a pretty good read.
How about you, Chris?
Clichés, clichés, clichés. Clichés on top of clichés. If you've seen a movie with a clone, you've read this comic book already. Don't bother. Art was nice.
You know what? Juan Jose Reap, Felix Serrano. I thought the art is reminiscent of Jeff Darrow, and that's a compliment. I really enjoyed the art. Again, really, I agree. This is not feeling fresh as far as a storyline idea, but I think the quality of the writing and art is really, really strong, and that overcomes the fact that it's not totally original. So first book by David Schuldner, and I absolutely recommend it. Keith?
I didn't read it.
Oh, well, that makes it even faster.
Man, this review is fast now.
Yeah, let's move on. Since you didn't read it, I like that idea. So we're going to talk about the next book on our list. Keith, we're going to talk about one I know you did read, and that's the Indestructible Hulk. Sorry, Indestructible Hulk. Again, a new number one from Marvel Now by Mark Waid. Pencils and inks by Lionel Yu. Did I pronounce his name correct?
It's probably Lionel.
Yeah, Lionel Yu. Let's go with that then. Keith, what do you think?
I did read this, and I read it, and I read it, and I read it, and I read it. I'm guessing that Wade is being paid by the word, because this is, this would hold the record for density if it wasn't for Batman Odyssey this year. And with all of that, I still actually don't feel I have too much of a sense of where this character has been at. You know, something finally happens about halfway through the issue. The art did not thrill me. It kind of works at times, and I don't know, like I think maybe a more realistic artist might have given me a new take on this character. I'm still not jazzed about most of what I'm seeing in Marvel Now. It still feels like, you know, jump on points. It doesn't feel like there's any newness to it to me. You know, it feels a lot like they could at the, this is just trade dress on a new creative team issue as opposed to any kind of new starting point. Maria Hill, I thought, could have used a lot more development as far as who she is. I don't know who she's been in the comics. I only know her from the film. So, yeah, not winning me over here. It didn't work for me at all.
Chris, how about you?
I actually really liked it. What I love about the Hulk is that they can reboot it to a fresh perspective every couple of years. That's what this was. This is a setup issue, thus all the words where they're trying to explain where this is going. I'm actually kind of excited to see what Hulk does as sort of an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I'm not giving anything away. That happens in the first two pages. I want to see more. If I was just reading this comic book, I would be a little disappointed. But I was collecting the Hulk before this with Jason Aaron's run. And I'm looking forward to where this goes. Which surprises me because, although I like Wade, I was not expecting to like him on the Hulk.
You know, Wade has a way of writing where, and he does this, every book is like this. Characterization, not much happens. Characterization, nothing's happening, nothing's happening. Stale, stale, stale. Characterization, nothing going on. Twist! Every single issue, every single book, every single character is written like this. You're going to like it or you're not going to like it. I actually kind of do like that, even though it's all the same and all the characterizations are and the dialogue is the same between all these characters. I kind of do like it. I don't like Yu's art on this one as well. I don't like the way he draws Banner. It doesn't look like anything like I've ever seen Banner look like. But it's really tough to come up with a fresh take on the Hulk, and there's a fresh idea on something they're going to do with him, or a fresh approach. Again, it's not that it's not a good book. It's that it's not good enough for me to purchase over other good books out there. So for me, that's just kind of how I view it. Brett, what do you think?
Well, I did struggle with Yu's art as well. I think it's a little too stylized for my vision of the Hulk. But I think it's one of those cases where once you get over that, then hopefully it's all right. But as far as the rest of the book, it's my favorite book of the week. I didn't notice any true excess of words. I really enjoyed where the story was going. And this is a book that I absolutely want to know where it goes completely.
All right. As a jump on point, I think it's fairly decent. That's for sure.
Yeah. I think both of them are good jump on points. So
yeah. Yeah. No. I think you're right. I think they, if that's what they're, and that is the goal. And that's been something I've complained about with the, Marvel Now's previously. And I'm certainly not going to complain about it with these two books. I'm going to move on, Brett. We have another book coming out here from, is this also an Image book? It is, isn't it? This one, Comeback. There's also a new book from Image. And written and lettered by Ed Brisson. And again, I hope I'm saying the name Brisson, or it's probably Brisson, Ed Brisson, illustrated by Michael Walsh. Brett, what do you think of this one?
Well, the lettering is good. But
the letter, awesome.
I've talked a lot about art, and I really, really struggled with the art in this one. I actually wound up going back through the book a second time just to try to pick through the names and just to actually associate them properly, because I didn't like the way the characters were drawn. The story's kind of neat. It's interesting. If I think about it, then maybe I will continue with it. If I forget about it, I'm not going to cry.
Chris, what about you?
I actually really like this book. The art, you mentioned Darrow earlier, and this is definitely a less detailed Darrow style. I actually kind of dug the art, but it's not for everybody. And you combine that with a time travel story. I dig it. I really dig the paradox thing going on, and that's where this one is going.
You know, I think this is another quality book from Image. It is another book that's, again, probably not the most original, but simply to me speaks of the high quality of the workmanship. I really like the art because I think it was really well suited to the story. And it's going to be, I think, an interesting ride to see where this goes. It's a little bit ambiguous at this point. The characters and the motivations and everything is kind of a slow burn. It's going to take a little while, I think, for us to get a lot of things revealed to it. I'm into the mystery and the ideas and the concepts. I think it's well done. How about you, Keith?
I quite enjoyed this book. Again, the noir feel, it kind of, is it Sean Phillips? Is that who did the Brubaker noir story?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's kind of what it reminded me of. Yeah. It is only a 5-issue story. I don't think I'd want much more than that. I kind of, I tire of time travel stories fairly quickly, so I think you know, a tight, well thought out storyline is what'll keep me interested.
Hmm. Okay. So it's a win. It's a win, and that's leading us to our final book of the week, Amazing Spider-Man 698. It's written by Dan Slott. Does anybody recall who the artist is on this? Let me look it up real quick here. Richard Elson is the artist on this one. So, Keith, tell us, what do you think of Spider-Man 698?
I'm very interested to see where he's going with this, and interested to go back a few issues to see kind of what threads may have led into this issue. It has been one of the most closely guarded secrets, which is, you know, shocking this day and age for comics, of, you know, headline news in USA Today instead of at your local comic store with some of the big twists, that this actually was kept under wraps. I think I really liked the pace of the issue. I really liked that it leads to a logical twist ending. You think of the great twist endings, Fight Club, Sixth Sense, where the ending comes out of nowhere, but when you think back over what you've seen, it actually makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. And I think that most importantly is what I liked about the cliffhanger of this issue, is that things that were bugging me, but they were certainly twigging as I read the book, of like, why is this happening? Why is this being written this way? And then you get to the end, and you're like, oh, okay, now the whole thing makes sense. It's actually, now I see exactly where you're going. So yeah, I'm very interested to see what the next two issues leading up to the final issue of Amazing Spider-Man, and whether this will continue into Superior Spider-Man.
Chris, what do you think?
If they wrap this up in the next two issues, I'm going to be pissed off. This is not a concept that you just throw into a comic book and have it fix the next issue. That said, if they continue it into something larger, if this is a year-long event, it could be the start of one of the greatest Spider-Man arcs of all time. But if they wrap it up real quick, this just harkens back to mid-70s Spider-Man, which I was not a fan of, where, you know, stuff happens for no apparent reason and everything's back to square one next week. Really, my review depends on how much you trust Marvel. If you trust Marvel a lot, buy this book. If you don't, I'd avoid it. And if it extends longer, they'll issue a trade.
Look, there's no question this could fall off a cliff and suck. There's no question that the potential to blow this up is there. But there's
I just don't want to be the guy who recommended Clone War. Want to be that guy. I'm erring on the side of caution and saying, actually, don't buy this book.
It actually has that potential. There's no question. I, on the other hand, say everybody who has an interest in Spider-Man, who loved the character or whatever, should pick this up, because it gives you an interesting enough storyline that you may or may not want to go forward with it, but you should give it a try to find out whether or not it's something you want to read. Because, I mean, the art's fantastic, except for one panel with MJ's face that's completely screwed up. The art's tremendous. Elson's art's tremendous. The concept, this plot, and the twist and all this lives up to the hype. It's a great plot. The actual writing itself from Dan Slott, it's shit, but it's Slott, so of course it is. You know, the dialogue and whatever is horrid. But the concept and the plot, it's brilliant. I absolutely think you should pick it up as a Spider-Man or Marvel fan, for sure, and judge it yourself. Brett, what do you think?
I agree with Keith's review. I agree with Chris's review. And I agree with elements of your review, Mo, except that I thought that Dan Slott's writing was passable and that the art was complete and utter shit. But otherwise, I love the twist ending. And like Keith, I want to go back and check out a few leading up to it, because I totally want this to be a year long storyline.
You know, the funny thing is, it did make me want to go and find out what happened for it, because it doesn't feel relevant to me. What feels relevant is that I went into this, got the twist, and I can find out where it goes from here. I don't care about what happened in the past. Like going into a relationship. Who cares what the person did before? It's how they treat you.
Well, here, never going to be.
I think at some point you should ask. I think at some point you should ask some questions about where they came.
And this is why
Mo keeps on giving again.
Yeah, exactly. What are those? What is those dots around my? All right. I am Mo at WeTalkPodcast.com. That's M-O, no E on my name. And I'm Mo underscore WeTalk on Twitter. Thank you for listening, everybody. Thanks for checking out all our other good shows and everything that's going on up there. And always check out the Comic Podcast Network as well as, of course, Comicosity.
All right. I'm Brett, B-R-E-T-T underscore WeTalk on Twitter. Brett at WeTalkPodcast.com. One thing that I'm going to say is that, as a general rule, I've been really enjoying the Marvel Now. But I will say that I did not enjoy the Fantastic Four number one. I don't like Matt Fraction as a writer, just flat out.
Oh, that was garbage.
And I also have to say that FF23 was one of the best finale books that I've ever read. It was a great story. And then to read that and then read Fantastic Four number one by Fraction was a complete and utter disaster for me.
Fraction writes his books like instead of actually writing a comic book that's taking place in the comic book world, like he's writing a parody of comic books for you to read for some alternate universe. Otherwise, explain to me the characterization of Ben Grimm, you stupid dummies. You dummies. You
dummies. 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 Yes.
Awful. What's the more dummies there are around, the more dummies I'm going to be into that dummies. It's awful. It's such a bad book.
I'm going to leave you with the question that I left on the cutting room floor. The question, what is your favorite Gru story? Oh, it's a trick question. They're all the same story.
Actually, my favorite Gru story is, never mind. Issue number 18, where he was an actor.
Shut up.
Mendicant.
That was great.
Are you done talk?
Probably
issue
not.
100 was good. And then there's the death of Gru. Go ahead, Chris.
You sure?
Nope. Go ahead anyways.
I'm Chris at We Talk Podcasts. Chris underscore We Talk on Twitter. And I still don't know what the hell uncanny means. Anyone who knows, please put it out in a tweet.
It's like they're canny, but un.
Yeah, that helped me so much.
Without canny.
Keith?
All right, I am Keith at WeTalkPodcasts.com. On Twitter, I am CubReporterK. And my latest installment of 900 Things went up on the weekend with my talking about one of my most treasured items, which is not the most valuable comic I own.
All right. And I think that's it, gentlemen, for the show. Thanks, everybody, listening. Looking forward to talking to Photo Cub and Comic Canuck. And Chris is on, I think, his fourth Twinkie over the last 3 minutes. Sorry, Americans, but... I guess with that, we're OUT.